So, what happens next in the sutra? Remember, the opening of the sutra is the Buddha in travesty, dwelling with a large number of monks and bodhisattvas. He robes himself in the morning, begs his food, returns, eats his food, washes his feet, and sits, setting up mindfulness, sits in meditation perhaps, sits in full awareness. And the next thing that happens is that Subhuti comes along to that assembly. He sits down. He sits down among those people around the Buddha. And then he stands up. He places his upper robe over one shoulder out of respect. Goes down on his right knee and bends forth his folded hands. Very respectful. So, I want to say a little bit about Subhuti. Subhuti is very important in the Prajnaparamita literature. He's the principal interlocutor, I think the word is. He's the main person in dialogue with the Buddha. There are others in the Perfection of Wisdom literature, but principally it's Subhuti who has the conversations with the Buddha. And in the Diamond Sutra, of course, it's solely Subhuti. And it's very interesting that Subhuti is mentioned as the arhat, the disciple who has these conversations, these dialogues with the Buddha. He's not actually that well known in Pali literature. I think he's mentioned in one sutta or in a couple of suttas, but not in a great deal of detail. But what's interesting in the Mahayana, in the Perfection of Wisdom, he really comes to the fore. It's a whole interesting topic in itself, how different arhats from the early days of Buddhism become very popular in the Mahayana. Maybe the reason that Subhuti comes to the fore is to do with the old tradition, the old Pali tradition, that Subhuti gained arhatship from being absorbed in metta, in loving kindness. His main practice was metta bhavana or metta jhana, metta maitri dhyana. He'd attain absorption through metta, through developing loving kindness to all beings. And it was out of that that he gained enlightenment, which is a very interesting detail, because you do hear some people saying that, you know, metta bhavana, you can't go all the way with it. But this is another example how in early Buddhism that metta itself is a path to enlightenment. And I think, you know, in the modern world, I think that is a very significant detail. My impression is that most people need to do a lot of metta, need to develop a lot of friendliness if they're going to make any progress. It's also said that when he went on his begging round, Subhuti, he would make it a practice to become absorbed in metta when he was receiving his food from the people giving it to him. He'd attain, he'd just naturally go into the absorption of loving kindness. And of course, it's said this had a great effect on the people giving him food. So it's a very lovely, very positive image that you have of Subhuti. So perhaps it's for these sorts of reasons that he becomes very important in the Perfection of Wisdom, because the Perfection of Wisdom literature deals with the Bodhisattva's path, and the Bodhisattva is, of course, a being characterised by loving kindness. Subhuti's name means well-developed, simply. The well-developed disciple, full of friendliness, respectful, receptive, but inquiring and questioning as well, and able to enter into dialogue with the Buddha, to go deeper with the Buddha, to draw the Buddha out, and to explore the depth of the Dharma, to draw out the depths and the extent of the Buddha's teaching. And you get the impression of a respectful, positive, intelligent person, Subhuti, and not at all submissive, although receptive. He is really the ideal disciple, the ideal student. So it sort of continues the theme that you know, we looked at yesterday in terms of our approach to the teaching, our approach to the Diamond Sutra. We're seeing that now embodied in the figure of Subhuti, the ideal dialoguer with the Buddha.